When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Have you ever had to put your plans on hold due to symptoms of generalized myasthenia gravis, or GMG? Like taking that weekend trip, talking with friends, or enjoying a meal? Learn about a treatment option that may help. Visit treatgmg.com to learn more. That's treatgmg.com.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We are going to return to our Newsmakers series. We spoke earlier in the week to Zach Hania. Zach had spent several months after October 7th last year trapped in the Gaza Strip, has managed to get out, his family here in Ireland, but so much of his family still there or have perished there. And that's available as a podcast to listen back to. On a much cheerier note, the other end of the spectrum, we spoke to Phil Healy and Sophie Becker, two members of Ireland's 4x400 metre relay team at the Olympic Games in Paris. We had a great chat, great memories shared by both of them on the show earlier in the week. Right now, Martin Nutty and John Lee are with me. People will remember Martin and John were both with me a couple of times when we were in New York for the recent US presidential election. We were broadcasting from Fitzpatrick's Hotel in Manhattan. They are the hosts of the Irish Jew podcast. Fellas, listen, it's good to talk to you both again. Martin, you struck a fairly downbeat note, I think it's fair to say, the last time we spoke. It was the morning after, the night before, and Donald Trump was the president in waiting. How's the mood now? I mean, what's your sense of things when you look at how he is preparing and who he is picking as his cabinet?
Well, I think we should prefix that by obviously saying that I'm not a big fan of the incoming administration. That said, you know, we're in this odd Stygian moment, if you will, otherwise referred to as the lame duck period. So we obviously have an election, and then it takes some time before the inauguration takes place. It's not like your recent Doyle election, where literally governments kind of get switched overnight. So the mood is one of people, I would say, observing what's going on. And the big news, I suppose, out right now is the list of nominations for various positions within the new Trump administration. My take on it is simply is it's more of the same from the first administration. We're seeing chaos or the beginnings of chaos. I don't expect it to get any better. So we've already had one nomination that's gone belly up in the personage of Matt Gaetz, who was nominated for justice. We also have one that's probably less covered, a gentleman by the name of Chad Corrister, who is a sheriff in Hillsborough County, Florida, who bizarrely got appointed to head up the DEA. Now, the DEA is the Drug Enforcement Authority, and they have something like 10,000 employees, 93 foreign offices. It's a bit strange to have a local sheriff responsible from one county in Florida to be nominated for, you know, a significant position with huge oversight and complexity. So this is what we can expect from the Trump administration going forward. Lots of chaos, lots of bizarre kind of appointments, and people that are, you know, not qualified for doing the job. How are they qualified? Well, do they pass the Trump loyalty test? And that is not the way, in my view, to run a federal government.
John, chaos, as Martin says, you know, it absolutely marked Trump's first term in office. But it also meant that a lot of things he maybe wanted to get done, or people around him supported him and wanted to get done, didn't get done. It kind of got clogged up in the chaos, as it were. Do we suspect the same thing might happen?
Yeah, I feel that, again, you know, I'm a liberal Democrat by faith, and I was very, very disappointed by the results. I'm trying hard to find the silver lining. I think the cabinet nominees are much more problematic this time around. He had in the first administration people I would not have agreed with, but they were adults. They were serious people. It's hard to make a case for the majority of his nominees. I feel like he's kind of flooding the zone and knows that some of them will get through. You can't stop every, you know, attack on democracy. So as far as chaos, I find that the people who may have previously supported Donald Trump will not enjoy the chaos when it starts impacting their world, when it's making the stock market jittery, when people don't know how their businesses are regulated one day to the next. They'd rather know what the regulations are than have no idea what regulations there will be. So, I think there's going to be a lot of people who are unhappy when the chaos reaches them.
Martin, what's the kind of the mood music amongst people there in New York? I mean, are people as engaged or have, because we're in this kind of strange interregnum, is there a slight kind of disengagement and it'll all kick off again in January?
Well, I'd say the mood in New York, when you consider, I suppose, New York City, I think probably voted somewhere in the area of 70% for Kamala Harris. People are despondent, I would say. I'm personally aware of somebody that's actually packing up and moving to Ireland. Very talented person in the tech space, and he's deciding to pick up and move. Now, you do hear these stories. This is the first time I've actually encountered somebody that's actually doing it. And the reason why he's doing it is because his son is trans, and he's concerned about the welfare of his son going forward. He doesn't like how hostile an environment he feels on a national level, nor is he, unsurprisingly, a fan of Donald Trump. I think most of us are kind of gritting our teeth and saying we've seen this before. The big question I think a lot of us are asking is, how do we deal with the flow of chaos in the media? Some people are essentially choosing to turn off the radio, turn off the TV, and maybe engaging in a different way. So that is the case for the, you know, 48.3% of Americans or whatever it is that voted for Kamala Harris. I'm sure the 49.9% that voted for Donald Trump are delighted and looking forward to big changes forthcoming.
John, has there been any evidence that the Democratic Party themselves have gone through the kind of the necessary period of introspection, or is that for another day?
You know, it seemed like almost immediately out of the blocks, everybody was pointing fingers at each other for who did what wrong, which I found a little hard to handle, unseemingly. I think they should have taken a little bit of a higher road, done some more of that introspection internally and not done it all out in the public. I didn't think it was a good look for the Democrats. But the country has shifted in a different direction. I don't think it's purely a matter of matching the country's mood, because the country's mood may be heading in the wrong direction. I look for some silver linings. I see there's some Democrats looking for ways to engage with the Republicans. There are some very effective Democrats in the Senate and in the House. The House, the Democrats picked up one seat. The Republicans lost one seat, making that margin even narrower. Like Martin, I'm looking for other ways to engage besides through politics and government, which is probably just what the opposition, the Trump side, wants, is a disengaged public. But we're in that sort of phony war. We're not quite in the game yet, where Trump has been sworn in and the battles begin. People a little bloodied and wounded from the battles here so far. We carry on, we soldier on, but it is a it's look for that silver lining. I'd love to find it.
Yeah, well, listen, we might try to find it together in the new year. I'll talk to you then, I hope. In the meantime, have a great Christmas. Martin Nutty, John Lee, they're hosts of the Irish Stew podcast.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Building a business may feel like a big jump, but OnDeck Small Business Loans can help keep you afloat. With lines of credit up to $100,000 and term loans up to $250,000, OnDeck lets you choose the loan that's right for your business. As a top-rated online small business lender, OnDeck's team of loan advisors can help you find the right business loan to fit your needs. Visit OnDeck.com for more information. Depending on certain loan attributes, your business loan may be issued by OnDeck or Celtic Bank. OnDeck does not lend in North Dakota. All loans and amounts subject to lender approval.